You're listening to Have Mike Will Travel with Elizabeth Santry.
Hello. This episode was recorded in San Diego. I actually came via LA, so I'm driving into downtown to meet Tyler Luck. And he's a very talented digital art director, but he's also a very good friend of mine. So truth be told, we hadn't seen each other in a bit, so we went to a pub to catch up and had a few pints. That may explain the fun that we have during the conversation, but, you know, thankfully, Tyler took it really seriously and answered all my questions. So we went to his apartment, which is a studio loft, and it's in the center of the city. His space is very contemporary. It is kind of small, but he has this cool wall that he's painted chalkboard. So it's like for graffiti for passerbyers and people to leave him messages and stuff. And he's got this window. It's his only window, but really it's a sliding glass door. And it's basically a peer into the entire city. So while we sat down, we had the twinkling lights of the skyline of San Diego, and it was really cool. And I had a really great time talking to, like I said, a very talented but very close friend. Hope you enjoy.
So, well, thank you for welcoming to your space. I know you joke that it's small, but it's you know, convenient. It's got everything right in one.
That's how I like it. I like loft spaces.
Yeah. Can you think clearly in a loft space? Is that why?
I can view everything. I can see everything. I don't like walls. Mm. Mm-hmm. You know? Even if I had a larger space, I wouldn't. Mm-hmm. I prefer for it to be a loft space. Mm-hmm. Everything's accessible. The airflow is the same.
So, okay. We're in, like you said, the center of San Diego.
San Diego, downtown San Diego.
What does being in the center of San Diego like do for you in terms of this view?
Well, I've never been a beach kid. Never gave a shit, really. But I like being close to the beach. And since I don't live on the beach, it's only 15 minutes away. You know? So it's accessible whenever I decide to go to the beach, mm-hmm. which is hardly ever. Even though it's like right down the street.
So what is it, like what specifically for a beach city like San Diego, what drew you in? Where, how did you end up here and this be your location? Because you seem pretty, you know, happy with this space.
Well, I never actually wanted to move here. I turned down the job about 3 times.
Oh.
I turned down the job twice. And the third time, they got me out here. But it wasn't until I came out, stayed for an extended stay. I was never intended to stay like as long as I had been. But it was cloudy. It was misty, kind of like it was yesterday. It was like shitty weather. Mm-hmm. And I got here and I was like, "The fuck is this? This is supposed to be San Diego, or California at that." You know right. what I'm saying? Like it's cold. It's rainy. I thought it never rains in Southern California.
Funny.
Which is actually kind of true, man. I just showed up on like one of those random days, man, when it actually rains. And so they extended my stay because they wanted to like show me that it actually is really nice here.
Oh.
And they drove me around, showed me all the beaches the next day, and I was sold. I was like, all right, done.
And this is becoming a bit of a work destination for you. You like being here.
Yeah, I love being here. One of my best friends who actually introduced me to this company, also lives out here. He's from Brooklyn. He'll never move back to Brooklyn.
So is that having the social aspect, like a friend or like someone to really...
Initially, yeah. I mean, now I don't care. He can leave. I'll be fine. I love him to death.
So where did you come from to here?
Baltimore. Mm-hmm. Maryland.
And before that?
Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. All over Philly.
So the one common thread is that these are like sort of smaller but still industrial cities. They're producing things, but they're not the major cities.
Yeah,
they're
like blue-collar cities.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
what does that offer you?
I call San Diego the Baltimore of California, actually. It's weird.
In what way?
Because it's like one of those slept-on cities. You know, I mean, Baltimore is actually a really nice city, you know, but it's one of the most slept-on cities. There's a lot of Mexicans here, you know, it's just like there are a lot of black people in Baltimore, you know, It's not the most popular thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, you were joking earlier about
or demographic.
This is like the best kept secret in California.
Well, it's cheaper than any other city in California.
Right.
Like a major city in
mm-hmm.
California.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So, much like your journey across the country, you also made like a professional journey because I know that you...
3,000 miles.
But in a comparison, you also made a journey from like strict fine art to digital art. And it's you make it sound kind of smooth the way you moved across the country.
It was actually pretty smooth.
So was your journey from fine art to digital art equally as smooth?
Yeah. I started doing digital art before I finished school. I actually dropped out of school to go into advertising.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. I went into my first interview at like an ad brand consultant agency in Philly
mm-hmm.
with like a bunch of paintings. And I was just convinced. Someone convinced me like, just come in. We like your illustrative style. You need more experience as far as like using these programs. We could show you that in an internship.
So they were offering the education aspect because
it's an internship.
But it's because the thing is, it's intimidating to take on new skills. That's what I'm saying. I'm curious of the journey because people can gloss it over and make it sound like really easy.
All right. So, all right. Check this out. We both went to school together.
Yes.
At the University of Arts.
Yes.
I dropped out after my sophomore year. When I went back home, I had an uncle who was also like a computer scientist. His wife is also a graphic designer. They both knew what I was going through, and they were like, we're not telling you to drop out, but, you know, I mean, like, you're a talented kid, but you don't know computers, and since we know computers really well, we'll build you a computer if you spend this summer saving up your money to pay for this thing. And then from there on, the world's your oyster, you know, do whatever the hell you want with it. But we're just going to guide you.
Almost like, was it a mentorship, did you feel like?
No, it was just my aunt and my uncle.
Well, who cares
cared about
the relationship?
Me.
But, I mean, if they were giving you really hard-hitting, useful info. That's really
I wouldn't really say it was a mentorship. It was just like, hey, you know, we know it's rough out there. And you're not doing so well
mm-hmm.
this fine art thing.
No, I love that you're telling the story because I think... So many people wonder how things go down. And
so they were like, all right, my uncle, since I was a kid, he was like, computers are the future. You know, I'm like, okay. But he was right. He was right. And so I saved up my money that summer at camp. I worked at a camp as an art teacher. And I saved up like $1,200. And they built me a computer. I sat on that computer for like 2 years before I actually knew how to use it. But I still had the programs, da-da-da-da. Then here comes the internship. And then the company I was working for was basically like, we're not going to tell you not to drop out of school. I mean, to drop out of school. But we've got this position open.
So here you are getting similar messages
yeah.
from people saying,
right.
this might be
you're a talented kid. This is where the future's going. You should probably hop on board. And basically, they were like, we have a position open, and we do feel like school is important, but what have you learned since you've been here?
Mm.
And I was like, well, more than I have in my 4 years of college. Deuces. Out.
That's cool.
I was like, $12 an hour? They're like, let's think about it for a second. Okay, you're in.
So your journey wasn't typical. Other people that you're working with.
I thought that was a lot of money.
No, for sure.
Yeah.
At that age and that time.
I was like 21.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
But what I like is to talk about your journey, like in the way that you were you working with people who didn't start the way you started. I'm assuming that it's slightly non-typical.
Having a fine art background and working with graphic designers was a leg up back then.
Okay.
You know, I mean, like, I had experience in color theory, composition, you know. Back then, graphic design was just graphic design. You know, there was nothing very... I didn't think it was very creative.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I was like, I don't want to have anything to do with computers.
But so how, let's talk about how you learn, because I feel like, because I know you, this is a, you know, an easier advantage for an interview. Like, I do know a lot of the things that you've gotten into, discipline and like just the niches of art and stuff. I know that you've gotten into like textile and screen printing and painting. Yeah. And now I know that you do like 3D motion and in animation and graphic design. It's a lot of, you're hitting a lot of tick marks that some people spend their whole career just kind of focusing on one thing, and you're doing a bunch of things. Clearly, there has got to be...
ADHD.
Well, there's an ability to learn, is what it's saying. You know, the proof is, like, the data is saying that you learn easily. Can you describe what it's like to learn something while you're in the process of learning something? What is going through your brain?
Well, I'll put it like this. I get bored really easily. And I always want to know why things work the way they work, you know, creatively, you know. And when we were in college, I didn't really watch a whole lot of TV until, like, I go home to my mom's house. And then that's when I started, like, watching, you know, MTV or, like, sports and shit and, like, all these crazy graphics. And I was like, how the hell do they do that, you know? And so since, yeah, I was doing textiles, I was doing printmaking and painting, I always wondered, like, you know, how could I offer the same creative style to that skill set? And so eventually I mean, the internet is the best. You just do your research. That's the one thing school did teach me, right? How to research. Mm-hmm. And how to not stop researching. You know, when I have to, I treat certain days like it's, or certain weeks like it's finals week. You know, I learn how to cram early. Adderall helps as well.
Yeah, for sure. That's no lie.
I've been diagnosed ADHD since I was 9 years old. Mm-hmm. So focusing a channel. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, all right, if I wasn't medicated in certain cases, I'd just be all over the place. You know, mm-hmm. Whereas that helps me keep my job.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it wouldn't exist if it didn't work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So, but you said something about style, and I'd love to talk about that, because I'm not 1,000% sure, but I feel like comic books, you know, I know that there's like a comic, you know, I want to know about the progression of your style, how it's like, you know, started as a kid to now, because there was a time where you were very, very, you know, graphic novel, visual-based, you know, stuff. And, like, where does it still exist as an inspiration?
Oh, that's actually part of, like, why I'm out here, actually. Yeah, when I was a kid, I just wanted to make comics. You know, that's why I went to school for illustration, you know, because I wanted to be a comic book artist.
And at what moment did you walk away from that idea?
I never walked away from it, honestly. Mm. I mean, I just decided... I had a job in Philly where I was an illustrator for his company. And they were trying to tell me how to illustrate, like how I should illustrate. And I did like this one comic book that was like a 1,200-page pony coloring book. And that's when I realized, I was like, nah, fuck this. I will never, ever draw another pony against my will ever again.
Love it.
You know, no one's gonna tell me what to draw.
Well, so there you are. Like, people talk about the moment, they tend to talk about the moment that they've picked the thing that they want to do is the day they realize, I could do this for the rest of my life and be happy. You actually had the opposite. You were like, I thought I wanted to do this, and this, you actually, it ceased to make you happy.
It was corny. It was mad corny. It was like it was that borderline between, like, I don't know, like, technology, graphic design, and just actually being, like, a good renderer, a good drawer, you know, a good painter, you know, and, like, illustrators didn't want to have anything to do with computers, and, you know, photographers didn't want to have anything to do with, like, digital photography.
But you could have stopped at knowing, like, illustrator and all these, some of these, to take it to the level of 3D animation. I guess it must have been, was it the connection of the graphic novels? Is that what it was? Because some people can just stop and still make a living at
no,
that, and you went further.
It was still fine arts for me, honestly, because in fine arts, they teach you perspective, you know, perspective drawing, you know, and in 3D, I was like, fuck drawing this shit. I can just use a computer to do it for me, you know, and I could just add on, you know, aesthetically what I need to, you know, so.
So let's go back to what we were saying about, like, could you, if you had to, actually describe the way you think when you're learning something? Is there, like, ingredients that go into it? What's the perfect scenario that it takes for you to learn something so quickly? Does it take, like, you having a personal interest or having a good teacher or
it's just,
blah, blah, blah?
It's just,
like, what
goals.
Is it?
It's just goals. It's goal-oriented, you know? I want to produce a certain result, and I don't have to ask anyone for anything. You know, just go to the internet. Just ask Google.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Google that shit. Yeah.
Yeah, Google that shit. Mm-hmm.
And so some of it liberation? Like, well, the more you learn, the more you can be independent?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I wouldn't have made it this far if it wasn't for the internet. Career-wise, you know, I still would have been teaching art or painting murals or selling on the streets. Selling art on the streets.
I love you. I need to be specific. So, okay, we're talking about journeys in transition. I like to ask people their perspective on success because I think that it changes. What is your, can you talk about a time if your perspective on what it means to be successful has changed in your path, your journey? Can you describe what it once was and what it is now? Or if it's the same, what is it?
No, I think I'm more successful now than I have been.
Oh, I don't mean achievement. I mean what do you what does success mean to you? Like, what does it mean? Some people it means like not having to ask anyone for money, or it means.
Well, yeah, it definitely means not having to ask anyone for money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean.
But I give you that answer. You have to find one of your own.
financially free, I guess, to do what I want is pretty awesome. You know.
But if you were, I mean, not to be dark, but if you were to meet your unfortunate end tomorrow, like, would you, the question, you know, is, how
what would you do?
No, would you, how would you, evaluate your accomplishments? How do you evaluate your accomplishments? Does it go through a process? Like, some people it matters that they're just happy or they're,
I scratch things off my bucket list. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like.
How do you do it professionally? Scratch something off your bucket list.
I don't really.
So how do
I don't,
you know?
I don't have a professional bucket list. I have like
so how do you keep
life.
Going?
I have like life achievement bucket list. Like I've what? Always wanted to live in California. Scratch that off. You know, I've always wanted to create things that, you know, we perceive to be the future. You know, to be a part of that journey. You know, I'm scratching that off my list.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, creating apps, designing for certain companies, it's pretty cool. I just never, you know what is, where it started? It started with the movie Big when I was a kid. You know, when, like, he has that that pitch where he's trying to sell, like, this comic book that's, like, electronic,
it's
you know?
Choose Your Own Adventure.
Yeah, Choose Your Own Adventure, right? But it was, like, that was, like, that's what the iPad is now. You know, and I used to be like, oh, my God, they should totally have an electronic comic book. That is a great idea. And so from then on, I mean, when I was a kid, I was like, I want to work in advertising.
Oh, you knew?
I want to create shit.
So how did you
know?
Get into painting if you knew you wanted to get into advertising?
Well, I mean, it's just, for me, it's just a natural progression. You know, I mean, concepting an idea and bringing it to, like, fruition. You know, and being able to execute it on your own, you know, that's where painting comes from because I didn't have any other tools. I mean, like, those are like the most primitive tools I could use to express myself. But I mean, they were the most accessible, you know, then, you know, I mean, graphic design. Well, all right. So it was a printmaking major, right? Printmaking is a precursor to digital graphic design.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so graphic design is post printmaking. So for me, it was just like a natural evolution. You know, I had to go through the history to get to the future, to get to the now. you know, and so that's just where I am. I mean, for me, the paintbrush and a mouse and a computer is just, it's just another tool to execute an idea. That's it.
So I love that you were talking before about wanting to be a part of things that are going to create the future. Do you have, like, predictions in what you do? Like, do you things that you just see coming around the bend that maybe the average person doesn't notice that you notice because of your work?
I don't have, I don't really have predictions about things. Because, I mean, a lot of things that we're creating are just ideas that people had, and we're just trying to see if we can actually make it happen. Like, I just read something a little while ago, a couple days ago, about, like, the lightsaber is real. Like, someone actually created a real lightsaber, you know, but movies did that, you know. Someone's idea did that, you know. Hollywood made that shit. But, you know, it actually took some real people to do the research to create it.
So,
so it just comes from an idea, you know what I mean? Like, it comes from a fantasy.
True. I mean, a lot of science fiction becomes science fact, and, like, it takes somebody, but
yeah,
I like, we were talking earlier about when people can kind of differentiate, it's called like the innovator's dilemma. Sometimes there's just too much potential innovation that's out there, and people chase after the wrong thing, but one of them will penetrate and actually become the future.
Well, that's the great thing about open source, you know? I mean, like, you give people the information, give them the tools, and then you allow them to run, you know, run with it. It's not going to be solved by just, like, one person. You know, it's going to be, it's going to have to hash out through so many different iterations. It might take a couple of people to be like, okay, 40 years later, this guy was fucking onto something. Boom, he wrote it out for us. Now let's just take it and keep it moving.
Did you ever see yourself, like, where you are now? Like, did,
yeah.
You know? So this was all...
Like I said, I because of the movie Big, I saw myself working in advertising at a young age.
Okay.
At first, I mean, but then after that, I saw myself being like a Basquiat or some shit like that. I thought I was going to be like some famous painter.
You had the hair for it.
I really did. That, I mean, that's actually, that influenced the hair. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I believe you. Yeah. Now I know.
Yeah.
We had dreadlocks together. So I want to know about... You used to juggle a lot of side projects, and I think it was because some of those side projects were hoping to be main projects. You've got a big main project now. Do you still have side projects? Do you come home?
I constantly have side projects. Okay. I mean, that sewing machine is a side project. That printout on my wall is a side project. You know.
This is the fun of the ADHD.
Yeah, this is my lab. And it's all coming back together because before I moved out here, I sold everything. You know, I sold my whole studio, sold all my sewing machines, sold my press. Actually, I threw my press in the fucking trash. I sold my screen printing press. No, I mean, I threw that in the trash, like in a dumpster because I didn't want anyone else to have it.
You're awful.
I didn't want to sell that one.
It's so funny.
I was driving past.
Driven by competition, the sense like a competitive drive.
No, it was mine. It was mine. I didn't want to see anyone else like having fun with it.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
So anything like that you're working on right now that you're really proud of or that makes you feel really, you know, fulfilled that you want to like describe?
No, it's all still in development.
Well, how are you getting back into sewing? Tell me.
Someone in the office was selling a sewing machine for $150.
Okay, you're being a really crap guest right now. Tell me and describe it to me. Tell me what is it that you, I know there's something in your mind that you're gonna that you're approaching.
I mean, I'd like to make bags again. I'd like to make stuff again. I'd like to make some pillows for my couch.
Oh, so functional, like just straight up useful.
Oh yeah, yeah. I've always been like all about like functional art. You know, cultural pieces. It's all going to come back to screen printing on fabric, sewing things up.
And what are your current influences with screen printing right now? What do you like?
Lord. That's a difficult question, you know, because I haven't really, I've been so much in like the digital space. I haven't really been in like the influential fine art space these days.
Where would you go if you wanted to, like, re-up and get some inspiration? I mean...
I have books, mostly design books, mostly design-oriented books, but I think I pull more influence from like, my environment, you know, nature, graffiti on walls, my own frustrations, but I try not to reflect that in my work because that just kind of seems weird.
You like more positive
upbeat? I'm private. I'm a little private, you know, when it comes to, like, my own interest. But my Pinterest is actually public.
Oh.
Which actually weirds me out, too. I'm like, I should probably make this private.
Well, what kind of images do you go to, or do you go to on Pinterest?
I mean, since I build a lot of apps right now, they're mostly digital. And since we were talking about, like, building the future, you know, it's like GUI, you know, like, interfaces, like, from, like, movies, the future, like, you know, what is this going to look like if it were to actually speak to real life?
Yeah, for sure.
You know, not just decorative, but actual functional.
Right, so how much...
So it's the same thing for me, you know, whether it's digital, whether it's print, whether it's fabric.
That could be a fun job, you
know,
for you, actually.
Whether it's wall pieces, you know, how does this relate to me in my life? Mm-hmm. And how does it make it better?
Right.
You know.
But I could see that. It could be a fun job for you doing some, like, set stuff for, like, science fiction films. Like, you know, somebody who worked on Tron had to think about how it would work and function those, you know, or...
Yeah.
Minority Report or whatever those we were talking about. All
right, so part of what I do, like, I mean, I've done a few videos, right? And it's like... You ever see, like, TV where you have, like, a monitor or, like, a tablet, you know, where they're interacting with it, blah, 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 mm-hmm. or it's just kind of doing its thing? You know, a lot of times I'll animate and design that interaction and then composite it
right
onto a tablet.
Right.
Da-da-da.
Because it can't be filmed.
Right.
Understood.
Yeah.
I want to know about, like, I like behavioral questions about habits. Do you have any rituals? Like maybe work
music.
Morning?
Music.
Music is your ritual.
Music.
So listening to it or like a certain way of...
I mean, I have to get into like a zone. I have to get into I have to feel the vibe.
Okay.
It sounds so fucking corny.
No, but like, so you're saying you're sensitive like auditorily. Like it has to be like...
Yeah, you got to shut everything out
mm-hmm.
and then focus.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I'm ADHD. Anything is a distraction. But music, for some reason, keeps me, like...
I get it.
Focused, you know, mm-hmm. like, harmonized.
So what are you into right now? Like, it can just be genre. You do not have to show me your actual phone.
Nah, I mean, like, I kind of have to pull it up because so much shit that I'm into.
So that's... Speak simply, then. Don't get distracted. Speak simply about the music. Because I know what you mean. Like, you're... In the moment, you may, like, blank on a specific artist or whatever, but just speak to the vibe that it creates that you like right now.
Something upbeat, but then also sometimes some things are just kind of, like, droned, like, sounds, you know.
So do you walk to work?
I bike to work.
You bike to work. Do you listen to music when
you... I used to skateboard to work.
Okay.
And then I fucked up my ankle.
Hey,
shit. Fucking old. You gotta stretch now for that shit.
So, do you listen to music when you're heading to work?
Not anymore.
Okay.
You know? But when I go in, I've got my SoundCloud, I've got my playlist, I got my YouTube playlist.
Mm-hmm.
I like to do, like, I do multitasking. Like, I'll be rendering a video, designing some shit in Photoshop, and I have, like, a little tiny window with a video playlist. I'll show you later. Yeah. King Krule is one of my favorite guys mm-hmm. to listen to while I work. Ooh, Thundercat.
Okay.
He's awesome.
Okay. I know something about you. Like, I know that you've always been, have a slightly competitive edge about being up on music before everybody else. You still got that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Like crate digging. digging in the crates.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, some people like to listen to old music all the time. I like to listen to new music.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, they know what's going on. It keeps me on my toes. You know, it keeps me inspired, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. New good music keeps me inspired, keeps me on my toes, keeps me wanting to do better.
So you're really sensitive to music.
Oh, yeah. It's like, important. It's so important.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's great. Anything like, okay, so you named a couple artists. Like, do you ever go to festivals or shows? Is that like part of the experience?
I went to Coachella for the first time this year.
Mm-hmm.
That shit was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite act was Disclosure. Those kids kill shit. They're inspirational.
Mm-hmm.
Little Dragon was awesome. I saw fucking Motorhead. That was, like, actually my first, like, except for, like, Rock the Bells.
Mm-hmm.
That was, like, my first, like, long festival.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
And so does it, listening to music make you see things visually that inspire you, or is it just puts you in the right mindset to be able to create?
It allows me to shut everyone out because, like, I mean, I work in a bullpen. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no offices except for, like, you know, the owners. It's just wide open, so I'm very conscious of, like, the people that are around me, if people are looking at my screen, da-da-da, you know, so music actually allows me to just shut all of that out and just focus on the work,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, like, you know, I get all, like, jazzed up. I hate using that word. It's like when people are like, just jazz it up, you know.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But, I mean, it does. You know, it's just, like, dope shit. You know, it keeps me inspired.
Do you have anything that's non-work-related, non-creative-related that is a hobby? Like, well, I don't mean non-creative. I just mean...
I still illustrate.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So is that, like, a hobby? Do you do it as a way to relax?
No. Not really.
Okay. Do you do anything to relax? Or are you just always churning out?
I do nothing.
I've had some people tell me that.
Yeah.
And I that's fine. You know, it's an answer.
I do absolutely nothing. That's how I relax.
Yeah. Some people have that on switch and off switch, and when they're off, they're off.
I mean, I have a buddy who builds quadrocopters. That's how he relaxes. I'm like, son, that shit is retarded. No, I do nothing. I watch TV. I watch movies.
Yeah.
I cook.
Mm-hmm.
I love cooking.
You got a decent kitchen.
I love lobster.
Do you?
Yeah.
That's random and lovely.
That's a stress reliever. I'm like, I work for this shit.
That's cool.
I deserve it.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Well, I think there's something to be said psychologically for treating yourself. It keeps you refreshed and, you know.
Yeah.
Because if you're working long hours.
Putting in work.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you like being home?
I do. I like my space.
Mm-hmm.
It's mine. It's the first place I've had to myself.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. Well, I really appreciate you having me. It was really fun to shoot the shit with you.
We're done? This
yes,
is it?
We're
oh,
done.
Fuck. Okay.
I know. It wasn't very formal and professional. It was just us goofing off. Do you have anything you want to add?
I told you I was horrible at this.
No, you were fine. It went by so fast. All right, say goodbye to the lovely people.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Anytime.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to show your support through comments and reviews.